I love the little discoveries in life. I love learning new things, tasting new flavors, seeing new sights. Anyone else notice that last Sunday and this Sunday our first reading was from the New Testament? Not our usual Old Testament, Old Covenant reading? Our usual routine is the first reading is from the Old Covenant, and the second reading is always from the New Testament, or the New Covenant. In the season of Easter, we are reading and learning and inwardly digesting what has just gone on. What does this resurrection mean? How are we to live within it? We will continue hearing only New Testament readings until the Ascension and Pentecost. Then, Trinity Sunday, we are back to our old ways. It is rather interesting to note that in our 21st century church, the Sunday after Easter, which was last Sunday, is often called Doubting Thomas Sunday. Even worse, it is sometimes called Low Sunday, because most church registry books show that last Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, is usually the lowest attended service of the year. It is as if the Easter proclamation was either so incredibly fantastic that people are now fully engaged in the world and the life of Jesus that there is no time to be wasted by hanging out in church. Or that there simply seems to be no reason to return to church because we have already worn our new Easter spring clothes, the fancy food and chocolate eggs have all been eaten, and the thought of engaging in the world and the life of the risen Christ is just too much. Or everyone is so tired they just needed a rest. So I'm happy to say that this is the third Sunday of Easter, and we are returning to normal. And alleluia, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, alleluia. So what was my little learning piece this week? I had a few of them, but one that I would like to share with you is a new view for me on the word peace. Through some excerpts from a sermon that I read, written by Reverend Kirk Allen Kubik, who serves as chaplain and teacher at St. Timothy's School for Girls in the Diocese of Maryland. So there is Jesus standing among his closest friends, the disciples. The disciples, they're just like you and me, and in fact, they are meant to represent us. He says, Shalom. Loosely translated, this comes across as, Peace be with you. This is unfortunately an inadequate attempt to put shalom into English. Shalom means much more than peace. Or peace means much more than what we think it means. Shalom is meant to convey that all is well with the world. All is just, all is fair, all is the way God means it to be. Ultimately, shalom means something like, what are you doing to make the world look more like God's world than Caesar's world? With Caesar standing in for whatever the principalities and powers look like in any given era. Empires, rulers, governments, multinational corporations, stock markets, organized religion, and the like. Appropriately, the disciples are startled. He was dead. Now he's back. In fact, the disciples are terrified because don't know how he did it, but he's back. And he still has shalom on his mind. Jesus then asked the disciples, why are you frightened? Could it be because the last time he was seen, he was dead? Hanging from a Roman cross, soldiers all around, angry people all around, and, well, as far as we know, dead is usually dead. Well, Jesus seems to say that, yes, this is true, but look at my wounds. See my hands? see my feet? So upon examining his hands and feet that had been nailed to that Roman cross, and I'm talking railroad-size spikes driven through them, the disciples, and remember, we are those disciples, are filled with joy and disbelief. They think that he may be a ghost. But nevertheless, joy is starting to refill their hearts. Then Jesus steps forward. Have you anything to eat? Our epistle reading for the day, one of the sentences, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Didn't Jesus always say you have to come to God's kingdom like a child? How many times a day do children look at their parents and say, what is there to eat? Apparently, as it is in real life, so it is in the resurrection of the dead. We need something to eat, something to sustain us, something to nourish us. So does Jesus. He wants us to feed him. So how are we to respond to this very simple yet direct request? The disciples offer him some broiled fish. He eats the fish. Now, instead of thinking, wow, dead people are hungry too, people, perhaps we should pay attention to what happens next. Our gospel reading from Luke 24 says, he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And that is what we refer to as the law and the prophets, our Hebrew scripture. This suggests that perhaps his hunger is not for fish, not for bread, not for wine. Jesus is hungry post-resurrection. He was hungry before the resurrection, and he is still hungry. We would do well to consider the source of his hunger before we are too quick to offer him something to eat. A better understanding of Torah and the prophets is to be a good starting point. Jesus was irritated with his contemporaries. He felt that the application of Torah, the application of the laws and the prophets, had gone off in a direction not of his Father's liking. Instead of bringing God's people, all of God's people together, the understanding of God's rules were being used to separate people more than bringing them together. This irritation made Jesus hungry. Hungry for freedom. Hungry for shalom. Hungry for justice for all. Not some people. Not most people. Not lots of people. But all people. He had tried to make it clear that the hungry were to be fed, the naked were to be clothed, the prisoners were to be visited, the sick made well, the stranger was to be welcomed, and the thirsty were to be given something to soothe their throats. He had already self-identified with these people. People like lepers, servants, women, orphans, children, Gentiles and Jews. Sometimes churches, and churches are us, churches are the people, sometimes churches are consumed with just about anything but shalom. It is too difficult to see what Jesus, who promised to be present in the bread and the wine, the Jesus who promised that he is the stranger, that he is the prisoner, he is the leper, Jesus is the beggar on the street, the tax collector, that the Jesus we got to know and love, who was endlessly teaching us about our relationship to the land, the earth, and the stars through his countless stories, parables, and analogies, the Jesus who challenged political and religious power, is it too difficult to see that having been raised from being 3 days dead and gone, and now returned and back with us for all eternity, that this Jesus, whom we are to proclaim in all that we do, in all that we say, just wants something more than a piece of broiled fish when he asks, "Have you anything to eat?" Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Repentance, says Jesus, and forgiveness of sins to all nations and to all persons. Are we really witnesses to these things? These things that Jesus is hungry for? St. Luke says that Jesus is hungry. The risen Lord, blessed be his name, is hungry. What in the world are we prepared to offer him? What in the world are you willing to give to him? How shall we witness? How shall we satisfy his hunger? Is it possible that his shalom is not a greeting at all? What if it's a request? What if it's an order? Is he asking for shalom? Are we prepared to give him this shalom that he speaks of and that he died for? Or are we just satisfied offering him a piece of broiled fish? Jesus is hungry. He wants us to be hungry too. How we respond will determine if his hunger is satisfied. We may or may not know what it will take, but we have these great 50 Easter days before us to begin thinking and praying and doing to satisfy the risen Lord. Sometimes it's just the little things, but we need to start somewhere. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed.